worked. Yeah.
407.
So that's why everyone wants to go with me anyway.
5'9". Anyway, we have a caller who just heard the entire story. Hi,
really,
who are you speaking with?
It was really good though.
Mongello, gentlemen. This is Gary from the Mouse Lounge calling.
Mongello.
Hey, I was actually calling to ask you about the Ultimate Magic Kingdom Touring Plan Land thing.
Oh, cool.
It's been a while since we've read that.
I got to tell you, I got onto touringplans.com and I saw this, and for whatever reason, it just had this instant appeal. Just the trucking all day long to get some little pittance of notoriety. I've got to do it, but when is the best time of year to try to accomplish such a monumental task?
So it's interesting, actually. The last two people who have set the record did so on fairly crowded days. The current record is like 49 or 50 attractions. I forget the exact number. In like 11 hours, 20 minutes. But just yesterday, we had people do 45 attractions in 10 hours. We had somebody who did it, and that's a lot of attractions in 10 hours. The people who did it before that did it on July 5th, and I think they had 47 attractions in 11 hours, maybe right at 11 hours. You can definitely do it any day of the year. The thing is that the plan is so efficient, you could really do it probably any day, but you know, maybe the week of Christmas and get away with it. We've had people do it during President's Week, during 4th of July week, during summer, during Columbus Day. It's just any time. It doesn't really matter.
With the refurb schedules that they have, and we have at least some sort of advance notice of what's going down and when, would October or Mouse Fest be a more prudent time to go and try to attack this?
You know, I would say whenever Mouse Fest might be better, actually. You want to try it. You want to do it, though. And the people who have done it have done done well doing morning extra magic hours, because you don't have as much competition for the Fantasyland and Tomorrowland attractions.
So a lot of that morning hustle is what gets most of those attractions under the belt?
Yeah, you really want to get that done if you can. There's just fewer people to compete with you for the secondary attractions, like the Tomorrowland Speedway and the Astro Orbiter, stuff like that. You'll get Dumbo out of the way pretty quickly. You'll blow through Fantasyland in minutes. It's getting to those secondary attractions where a 5-minute wait here, a 7-minute wait there kind of delays you for the rest of the day that extra magic hours really helps with.
Awesome. Gentlemen, I love your show. You're one of the three podcasts that I actually listen to because I'm too busy putting together my own. So kudos to y'all for a real entertaining show. Much appreciated.
Thank you,
hey,
Gary.
Keep it short.
Gary, if you do the
guys.
If you do attempt it, shoot me a line. Drop me an email before you go.
You got it.
Cool.
407-278-5939. And I believe we have a new caller here. Hi, who are we speaking with?
This is Annette again.
Hey, Annette, sorry about that.
Hi, Annette again.
Yeah.
That's okay. Hello. I'm calling about, we have annual pass holders, and we're there at least once a month. We've been at a lot of the moderate hotels and also the All-Stars and the Grand Floridian. We've never tried the Contemporary. What is your feeling on the Contemporary Hotel?
Len, what do you think of the Contemporary?
Are you staying concierge in it or no?
Concierge?
No, just regular.
No, just curious.
In the towers, I guess.
In the towers, probably.
In the towers.
I think
we're thinking about the autumn, maybe.
So I think the tower rooms are probably the nicest rooms on Disney property.
Really?
I think they're better than anything. If you like the styling, which I do, they're better than the Grand Floridian. They're better than the Polynesian's new rooms. They're very big. They're very well designed. The bathrooms are just, somebody put a lot of thought into the bathrooms. I really like the bathrooms quite a bit.
I always put a lot of thought in the bathroom.
I swear, I'm going solo. I swear to God.
You sleep in that instead of the bedroom, right?
Sometimes I sleep there instead of the Ford Explorer. But they have sliding panel doors rather than doors that swing out, so they give you more room. And the shower curtain. This has actually started popping up at Hyatt's. I've seen it, but the shower curtain curves outward to give you more space. in the shower.
Oh,
and actually,
cool.
Disney was one of the first hotels that I'd seen doing that. There's also a nightlight that pops on. There's a little motion sensing nightlight that pops on in the bathroom when it senses you up and about in the middle of the night, which is really good because you're in a strange hotel, you know, middle of the night, walking around, don't want to stub your toe. So they pop a little light on for you. It's really neat, actually.
Cool.
I think the rooms are fabulous. I would get something in an upper corner, just to avoid, you know, noise from the lobby and stuff like that. But I really, really, really like the rooms quite a bit.
Wow, that's good. That sounds good. Sounds very good. What's the deal with Matt and the dinosaur ride?
Oh, what are you talking about? He's a wuss. I mean,
oh, because I go on that and I scream through most of it, but at least I go on it.
So does he.
I scream, my 10-year-old son, he sits there real quiet. My husband's fine, my 10-year-old's fine, and I'm screaming.
It scares me. I can't explain it. It's just very, for me, I find it extremely scary, and I just can't ride it. So, you know, I choose not to ride it anymore.
Choose not to ride it. There you go. Well, that's fair. That's fair. But so the contemporary thing is cool. But wow, we'll keep that
in mind. Thing you have to watch is the expense. I mean, it's like $500 a night. So I don't know that I would, you know.
Yeah, it has to. It better be nice, but it doesn't mean it will be. You know how that works.
That's the thing. I mean, $500 a night versus, you know, you could buy a lot of luxury for $500 a night, especially if you're staying at a moderate when you have a lot of money left over. You'd really need to. You know, think about if that's where you want your money to go. I'm just saying.
Well, that's the thing. And it might just be one in a very special, you know, I know what you mean, though. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That's a lot of Disney t-shirts, you know?
It is a lot. It's a lot of beer. Let's put it that way.
Well, thanks for calling in, Annette.
Well, great talking to you. And we love your podcast, my husband and I. So keep up the great work. Okay, thanks. Bye-bye.
We thank you, Annette, and Mr. Annette for listening to the show. We have another caller. This one's from the great state of New York. I think Queens, perhaps. Hi, who are we speaking to?
No, you'd be wrong. That's the Bronx.
Oh, the Bronx. 718.
And this is Tom from WDW News Today and WDW Celebrations.
Hey, Tom. How are you doing tonight?
Just wanted to share a great Lou Mangiello story from this past week since we were down for the Wild Decade event on Tuesday. We got in a little early on Sunday evening. The Magic Kingdom was open till 2 a.m. And while I wasn't quite there yet, the rest of the guys were there already with Lou. And they were walking through, I think it's the smoking section over in Liberty Square behind the Ye Olde Christmas Shop. And Lou notices, I think it's the little, it used to be a food vending facility. It's like a shack that's been closed for probably about 15 years, I'd say.
Uh-huh.
So Lou starts taking pictures of it. And there's some guy sitting there smoking. He goes, "What are you taking pictures of? Do you work for the newspaper or something?" And the guy's taking a drag from his cigarette, and Lou just sort of jumps back.
That's great.
This guy was just sitting
awesome.
In the dark.
That's awesome.
Very nice.
Yeah, again, I think the guy used some profanity, but I didn't want to...
Keep it clean. Wait for the satellite feed for that. But we always appreciate the stories about Lou, especially the degrading ones. Those are the best.
I would have said something like, "I'm here from the paternity suit." Suit? No, never mind. I mean, yeah, I'm from a newspaper. Yeah, that's it.
Well, thanks for calling in, Tom. We appreciate the story.
All right, thanks, guys.
And Tom, you know, keep up the great comments in the chat room. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye. 407-278-5939. And another caller right behind Tom. Hi, who are we speaking with?
This is Mike from Minnesota.
Hey, Mike, what can we do for tonight?
Minnesota Mike.
I just checked into the All-Star Sports today.
Oh, cool.
I'm sorry. I'm getting a lot of feedback here. I'm in the Magic Kingdom right now. I'm trying to move to a different spot.
Oh, cool.
And I had a couple questions about it. I'm wondering if maybe we got stuck in a bad building or something. We had a lot of noise, and I was wondering what would be the recommended building to maybe ask to switch to.
Just ask for touchdown, building 7.
7? Because we're in touchdown 10 right now.
Really? And you're having issues? I mean, you could always ask for building 7. I love building 7. The other touchdown building, it's fantastic.
Okay. All right. We'll look at that. The other question I had is we're in town for another 9 days, and I'm wondering if there's going to be any opportunity to see the Toy Story Mania during this time.
You know, there's some rumors I've heard. I posted about it on StudioCentral.com today. They're having potentially, well, there were supposed to be some previews of Toy Story Mania for the studio's cast this past weekend, Friday, Saturday, and today. Didn't happen. The new plan is to have more cast member previews this coming weekend on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. This is very tentative, and this is, again, cast member previews. So if you don't know a cast member, you're not getting in, unfortunately. They could, if this do occur, what may happen later on in the afternoon is they may bring in some regular guests to come in and test it out. Again, very tentative, very, you know, I don't want to promise you anything, and I wouldn't get your hopes up terribly. At this point, it's not ready yet.
It's not ready.
Okay. Yeah, we are annual pass holders, but I heard that wasn't going to be until later when we were leaving, so.
Yeah, it's not happening until a little bit later in May. May 10th, I believe.
May 10th, 11th, and 12th. There's still a lot of cosmetic work that's needed to be done inside there. I talked with somebody who actually did a walkthrough from Reedy Creek the other night, and he said that it looks really well put together and everything. He was really excited about it, but he said there's still a lot of cosmetic work, scenery, and things to do. All the technological stuff works. All the interactivity works well. I mean, that's all in place. The ride vehicles, everything is working well, but the scenery still has to be completed.
Okay.
That's it.
All right.
Thanks for calling in. Enjoy your trip.
Great. Thanks for the advice. Yeah, thanks.
And we have another caller. Hi, who are we speaking with?
Mr. Hochberg, this is New Jersey calling. The next time you are in Walt Disney World, Mr. Hochberg, let us hope that, shall we say, an accident does not befall you. For if that should happen, I am sure you will be quickly attended by the fine emergency responders at Walt Disney World, many of whom are from New Jersey, and they will give you the kind of emergency care you deserve.
You deserve
it. We know how you feel about New Jersey, Mr. Hochberg. You may want to think about how New Jersey feels about you.
Don't worry about it, because I'll smell you coming and the rest of your state, so not to worry.
Hey, guys, it's St. Chris. How are you doing?
Chris.
About time.
You know, wait, every time Chris is on, we have problems, you know.
Yeah. No, I haven't been, like, up on the wires or anything. Not at all. I am here to represent Team Newell tonight.
Uh-oh.
Team Newell.
I know that you guys are pretty anti Disney transportation, but I do take the buses every time I go. Now, when I was down there and met you guys at Mouse Fest in 06, I noticed they weren't doing something in the buses that they're doing now. I'm a Caribbean Beach person. I always stay at Caribbean Beach. I was there for Epcot's 25th last year, and they have started playing themed music in the buses. Themed to the place you are in or that you're going to go to.
Right.
If you're in a bus going from Caribbean Beach to the Magic Kingdom, you start hearing like Magic Kingdom style music. If you're coming back to Caribbean Beach, you hear Calypso music. And if you're going to the studios, you hear Hollywood style music. It's a nice thing, and they've got narration telling you about where you're going. It provides some nice atmosphere. It really keeps it going between the parks and the resorts.
Yeah, they implemented those changes a couple of years ago, and it does make the bus ride a whole lot better, especially you don't have to hear the bus driver say, hey, have you guys heard the monorail is being expanded?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, although there's this one bus driver who I've gotten a couple of times on my trips. I wish I could remember the guy's name, but he seems to think he's a comedian. He's not.
Sorry.
But going home from Mickey's Not So Scary, he was a nonstop stream of bad jokes. Yeah.
Oh, God. It's like having snow on your bus.
But one thing I wanted to mention in the Team Newell vein here is that the music that they play while you're in Caribbean Beach and when you're going to Caribbean Beach from a park is some steel band music. That's some steel drum band music. And I think I actually found it while I was looking around on iTunes. There's this band called The Toucans. There's a Best of The Toucans album. It's like being at Old Port Royal. It's like being transported to to the Calypso Trading Post shop at Caribbean Beach.
I love that music.
Yeah, I'm writing it down.
There's a couple of Disney songs in there. There's Under the Sea and Bare Necessities and some other stuff. It's nice stuff. Just wanted to recommend it.
I'm going to go check it out. Thanks, Chris.
What's the name of it?
Best of the Toucans, like the bird. It's the Toucan Steel Drum Band.
I love steel band.
Yeah.
It's great stuff, and we've been playing it at home and in the car just to keep the Disney feel, just to stay in the zone.
Nice, Chris.
That's
I'm
awesome.
Looking forward to it on Amazon right now.
Thanks for calling. All right. 407-278-5939. Hello, caller. You finally made it on.
Hey, it's Patrick of Patrick and Lydia and Adam in the chat room.
Hey, Patrick.
Hey, got a quick question. Actually, a follow-up to an answer that you gave on a listener question show a couple of weeks back. But Len was not there, and he's probably the one that has the most likelihood of having a scientific answer to this question. But it's the tram question. Mm-hmm. And Len, if you heard the question on the show, it's when Lydia and I were in the world last year, we several times got out of our car in the parking lot and thought, gee, you know, I think we could walk faster, and then invariably got passed by a tram.
Right.
So have your guide folks and researched anything? Have they ridden around on trams all day and figured out if it's better to walk or ride at which park?
On the trams, we haven't done it, although I will say that I'm usually there so early that I'm like, you know, first row of parking, so we never ever take the trams. I know at the Animal Kingdom, I almost never take the tram. When I was with Hannah on the last trip, we did actually try to see whether we would have been better off with a tram, and we would have not been, but only by like 10 seconds. My guess is that most people are better off just getting on the tram, unless you just missed the tram, right? Unless you just saw it walking away and you're fairly close. I don't think you're going to walk as fast as the tram.
We found that the front two rows of Epcot are pretty much, you know, you're going to beat the tram. But everywhere else, especially Magic Kingdom, of course, the TTC, you know, you're never going to beat the tram under the bridge.
Yeah, absolutely. No, there's no way, yeah. So there's, yeah.
AK and MGM were the two where you couldn't really make that judgment call. So, what are your thoughts?
I would say at the studios, you can definitely beat the tram. Absolutely. But
okay, cool. Well, thanks for the great show, guys.
Thanks, Patrick.
See you.
And we have a caller from Connecticut. Hi, who are we speaking with?
Hi, this is Jennifer.
Hey, hey Jennifer.
How you doing?
Outstanding. Yeah. What do we do for you?
Outstanding.
Oh, jeez. Outstanding.
Outstanding.
What's that?
We're making fun of Matt.
Ah, okay. Let's see. So I'm still planning my trip for December where I'm going with 12 extended family members. Yeah, and I'm trying to figure out if it might make sense for me to get an annual pass. I know you get this question all the time, but I'm going to be down there 7 days in December, and we're getting two-bedroom villas at the Wilderness Lodge. And I don't know if the villas ever get annual pass discounts, but I also am going to be going down for a few days in October for a conference for work, in which case
okay.
I want to go to the parks in the evenings and maybe stay an extra day or two on the end.
Yeah. I think you should definitely get the annual pass.
Yeah.
I think so too. I mean, I think your break even is going to be at 3 or 4 nights.
You're going to have discounts on the villas?
I would be surprised if they didn't.
Yeah. You know what you might want to do, Jennifer, is use a travel agent and call them and, you know, see if that's available. We should mention that MEI and Mouse Fan Travel is the official travel agency of WDW today. And certainly them or another qualified Disney travel agent can help you get that kind of information. Because once you get the annual pass, you know, it can really help you out in getting those kinds of discounts. And they can be a real asset for you, the travel agents, to get that kind of information to you right away.
Yeah.
Okay.
You can actually check now to see whether any discounts are available. And that'll tell you whether they're regularly offered for December.
Okay, but I can't check that. You say a travel agent can check it for me, though, right?
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
Because I can't get in and check it unless I actually have the annual pass.
Right.
Okay. The other thing that we're getting is that we were thinking about getting the dining plan.
Yep.
Is it possible for us to still get the dining plan if one of us has an annual pass and the other people have Master Way passes?
Yes, they have a dining plan for annual pass holders now available.
Okay, but everyone in the room doesn't have to be on the same exact plan?
That's a good question. Still... Yeah, I know what you mean. If there's two people in a room, one person has an annual pass, one doesn't, can one person get the Disney dining plan, one person get the regular dining plan? Again, a good travel agent will help you out with that. I'm not sure if that's possible in order to do that the way it is. I got to think they got to be able to do something like that, in my estimation. I mean, what are they going to say? No, you can't use it. We won't take your money.
Yeah, really.
Well, I guess the other option then at that point is that we could just not do the dining plan and get the dining experience card. With that many people, we might.
Yeah, in my experience, Jennifer, and I think Scope will back me up on this, we like to get the Disney dining experience card with an annual pass and couple those two discounts, and you can really do about the same amount of research that you have to put into the Disney dining plan, really, anyway.
It's a lot of work.
All right. Yeah, we'll be down there, I think, during MouseFest. What are the days for MouseFest this year?
It's around that second week in December, December 6th to the 11th, I believe. Scope, does that sound right to you?
What are the dates again, Matt?
December 6th, 11th. Scope, I think you're muted. Yeah, Scope, he's an old man.
Yes.
Oh, there he is. All right.
Yeah, I was going to mention to Jennifer that you'll need two Disney dining experience cards if you're going to have 12 people. I think that the land portion begins on December 11th through the 15th.
Oh, there it is. Okay. 11th,
so we're getting down there.
I thought it was the next weekend, too, yeah.
I don't know if anyone else in my group would be interested.
Bring them down there anyway. Who cares? Bring them. You should come.
All right. I'll have to look into it this year.
All right. Thanks
for
calling.
I'll be at Magic Meets, too. So we'll see you
there.
Oh, cool. Oh, awesome. We'll definitely see you. Be sure to mention Jennifer from Connecticut.
That's me. All right.
Cool. Good luck.
All right. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. 407-278-5939. And hi, who are we speaking with?
Hi, John from Littleton, Colorado.
Hey, John.
John.
How are you guys doing?
Hockey's.
Great. What can we do for tonight?
Well, I had a couple questions. One about car rentals via Priceline. Have you guys ever had any experience doing a car rental with Priceline?
I've done it a number of times. I think, Newell, you may have done it once or twice.
No, not for a car. I've never done it for a car.
I've done it a couple times. What's your question?
Well, is it worth it? Is it kind of any pluses, minuses, any hints to do it right? Yeah.
Well, you got to do some research here because sometimes it can be a great deal. I got one time through Priceline $9 a day for an economy car, which was a fantastic rate.
Wow.
Typically, with renting from Priceline, you're going to be probably, odds are, renting from a car company off airport property. There are companies that participate on airport property, but what tends to happen, in my experience, is the ones that off property that get, they're all a name brand. I mean, they only deal with like Hertz, Avis.
Matt, you mean off the airport terminal, not the property?
Yeah, off airport. Yeah, right. The ones you have to take a bus to. That's the only con. I don't see. It's not that big of a deal. I would still do it, but you got to research the price. There are times that I found that Priceline is like $2 a day cheaper, but you know what? For $2 a day, I might want the benefit of being able to pick the company and the location and the car exactly.
Exactly.
The other thing to keep in mind, and this is the real con to Priceline, and it really irks me, when you buy through Priceline, you can't use your – if you're a member of like their super club, you can't use it. You don't get credit for like – you don't get a credit for a rental on your member account. You're kind of just a regular Joe, even if you are a member of it.
Oh, that stinks.
It's kind of the deal they do with Priceline. Like if you get the cheaper rate, you don't get the benefits. Right. So you have to wait. If it's a great deal out there, check your rates. You can do the way you can really test it is put out like check a great site like biddingfortravel.com has a lot of winning bids you can check on there. The other thing to keep in mind is when you're going through Priceline, if you put in a ridiculous bid, a lot of times what they'll do is they'll be like, well, that bid was, you put like $2 a day, which will never happen. They'll put, well, that was really too low, but if you do it for this amount, we'll let you do it, and you can kind of get a better idea of the prices. So play around with it, use codes, and see what you can find. But there are definitely deals to be had out there, so I recommend it.
Yeah,
I agree. I'll give it a shot. I also had a question. I know you guys are going out there like the second week of May.
Yep.
And myself and my 18-year-old daughter are going to be there from the 14th to the 20th. So two questions about that trip. The Toy Story Mania, I understand, is having an AP event just 4 days before I get there. So right. Do you think it's going to be open, you know, during the week of the 14th to the 20th?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so just pop in and we should be able to ride it.
It'll be open.
Yeah, I mean, the previews are always going to be tough. What I would do is keep track of what's going on, you know, some sites. I mean, I'll plug my site, studiocentral.com, where you can get – I post information as I find it. But certainly any of the major Disney websites out there will post information as we get information on it. Because, again, there have been some issues, but that we're taking care of. They're taking care of it, and things are going to change. So schedules may change, but right before your trip, even through your trip, if you can get internet access, keep track of it because you may see something pop up.
Yeah, definitely.
Great. And the last question, are you guys having any meet and greets while you're out there?
We're gonna post our schedule, you know, where we're gonna be each day, and what I might do is throw my cell phone number on there just for people to get in touch.
What?
And where are you guys posting that?
What are you nuts?
we'll be posting it on the podcast website, wdwtoday.com.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys. Have a great time. Look forward to seeing you in a few weeks.
Hey, cool. Thanks for calling it.
See you, John.
407-278-5.
What could possibly go wrong with me putting my cell phone number on the internet?
Yeah, nothing at all. No.
Oh. Beat the chat.
Oh my god.
Well, it's 10 o'clock, and we're still getting some calls in here. So if we keep on getting some, we have about 30 seconds for another call here. I'll be putting through. Calls still coming in over here. So you know, certainly if we have some calls, we'll definitely be able to put you through. We've had a great show. I want to thank all of our listeners, and. Of course, our sponsor, AllEars.net, and it's been really a lot of great shows. Scopa, did we set a record for calls?
We're pretty close. I think we had 26, although one was Annette twice. So actually, it's 25.
Well, here's 26.
Which is about right. Oh, we have another one.
Yeah, here's another one. Hi, who's speaking with?
Hey guys, Bruce from Brooklyn. Got a question for you They're talking about this being Animal Kingdom's 10th anniversary. They said something about there was supposed to be Beastly Kingdom, and they built like a dragon's cave somewhere, and that still exists. Do you know where?
Yeah, it's over the theme park entrance, like over the gates. They have a number of different animals, and one of them over there is you'll see it.
Yeah, so hey, Matt, he's talking about the thing you can see from the bridge on the way to Camp Minnie Mickey.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm not familiar with.
So there's a rock outcropping that looks like a dragon. If you're walking to Camp Minnie Mickey, look on the as you pass over the bridge from Discovery Island to Camp Minnie Mickey, look on the right hand side so that you're facing the water. On the left shore, so the shore that's the Camp Minnie Mickey shore, you'll see a rock outcropping that looks like dragons.
All right, but nothing. It doesn't do anything, right? It's just there.
The thing was, it was supposed to, you know, I did this with Jim Hill, actually, and it's so much fun to tour the Animal Kingdom with Jim Hill, but it was supposed to breathe fire.
All right. Yeah, guys, I'm kind of late. I was kind of like just turning it on by mistake and heard you guys still talking, so I decided to try and call.
Right. Well, cool. thank you for calling in, Bruce. Appreciate it.
Okay. Now, last month I was last caller, too. My last caller, too.
Cool.
Nice.
Hey, have a great day, guys. Take care.
Thanks, Bruce.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
I think we're going to end the show right here. I want to thank all of our callers who called in here, all of our listeners as well. We thank you, some new people to the live shows, people who joined us in chat for the first time. We always appreciate that. It's a lot of fun doing these live shows, and it really flies by. So we thank everyone who called in, who joined us in chat, who listened. Thank you very much. And, of course, this live episode of Walt Disney World Today has been sponsored by AllEars.net, your one-stop shop for Walt Disney World, the Disney Cruise Line, Universal Studios Orlando, and Disneyland. AllEars has menus of all the Walt Disney World restaurants, comprehensive photos of all the resorts, sections on traveling with special challenges, and more. Be sure to subscribe to AllEars, a weekly email newsletter all about Walt Disney World, and join over 94,000 subscribers who receive a dose of pixie dust in their inbox each week. Visit AllEars.net today. And I want to mention quickly before we go, our next live show. We always have our live shows on the last Sunday of the month. So the next one appears to be on May 25th. Although that's Memorial Day weekend, if I'm not mistaken. So we may change that simply because it's Memorial Day weekend and a lot of people are probably getting away, going somewhere. So check www.data.com for information. Does that scope, Newell?
Including me. I'm not going to be here.
Yeah, so we'll definitely have to keep – we'll keep you posted on wdwtoday.com for information on that. Don't forget, if you still want to – if you don't want to go to sleep yet, join us in the chat room right now at wdwtoday.com. You'll see a link to the chat room. And there's still plenty of people in there. They'll be there until, like, I don't know, 5 a.m. I mean, people just stay in there. So it's a lot of fun, and you're more than welcome to join us and chat with us as we go on. Newell, what's going to be playing after the show?
I have no idea. I haven't even gotten that far yet.
Oh, well, something's coming up next. I don't know what, but something is following. So we thank everyone for listening. Thank you to our chat moderators, Sean and Larry, for helping us out there. And thank you to you for listening. For Mike Newell, Len Testa, and Mike Scopa, I'm Matt Hotchberg. We'll see you on the next live show.
That's the end of my show. Donk.
This is Mouse World Radio.
Radio 1!